Where's my clicker? Well, good morning, everyone. I am Todd Fredericks, and I forgot the clicker, so I'm going to have to just work with Liam on that. But I just want to say I'm super excited to be with you. Let's go. Well, let me get somewhere I can see. There we go. Woo! We have success. All right, we got the clicker in hand. Good. Well, I'm super excited. For those, if I haven't met you, I'm Todd Fredericks. I'm the new senior high director, coming on 5 months now being in the role. Woo! Yeah. Yep. And really, I took this job, you know, we're talking about, you know, God being faithful and God being good, kind of giving you what you need. I took this job because, you know, I've known many of you students for many years, and I just love being with you. And as my wife will tell you, I'm a kid. So with that, I've got a treat to kind of start us off this morning. We're talking about the blueprint for the gospel. That's our series in Romans, and we're going to get into that. But before we do that, I got a special treat for you.
We got trouble.
Tony, there are civilians present. I'm here on orders. Let's not do this right now.
Give them a whiff.
Hey, all right. Yeah.
All these people are in danger. We got to get them out of here. You got to trust me for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, I tried that. I got tossed around your house,
listen,
remember?
I think he's working with Venko.
Venko's alive?
Where is he?
What?
Where's Venko?
Who?
Tell me.
What are you doing here, man?
Whoa.
Is that you?
No, I'm not doing that. That's not me.
I can't move. I'm locked up.
Get out of here. Go. This whole system's been compromised.
Let's take it outside.
Now, so before you think we're going to get to watch the whole movie, not the case. What movie is that?
Iron Man.
Any fans? Raise your hand. All right, good. Yeah. Where does this scene show up in the movie?
Towards the end,
yeah. This is really towards, you know, the final scene of the movie. And why do you, you know, I'm showing you this because two reasons. One, I want to get your attention, and I think I succeeded. But also there's some corollaries to Iron Man, and we're going to talk about those. But also, this is a major turning point in the movie. We're very near the end, right? This is where the good guys prevail, okay? And it's really an analogy of our study in Romans. And that's a turning point in the book of Romans. You know, we started this book in October, and we've been studying. We've now had Thanksgiving. We've now had Sabbath Sunday, and maybe our minds are wandering a bit. So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, open it to Romans 12. That's kind of where we're picking up in our series, okay? And we're going to start right in verse 1. Romans has 16 chapters, if you haven't been through the whole book yet, and I hope you have. This chapter falls at the end of kind of what is a deep and complex storyline that Paul's already been sharing with the Romans in this book. Okay, and this requires us to understand everything that's happened in chapters 1 through 11 before. Okay, in order to understand the blueprint for the gospel, we've needed to understand kind of the beginning, kind of where we started. And, you know, I'm really challenging you to know the book of Romans more than you know a Marvel movie. Many of you can quote the scene, the verse, the language that he's going to use in the next two or three scenes. Can you quote your Bible in the same way? You know, there are key verses in Romans that many of you learned in Awana and that we need to be holding on to in order to walk with the Lord throughout our lives. Okay? Let's bow our head really quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would speak to these students, Lord. Lord, I pray that they are faithful to follow you and to walk in your ways all the days of their life, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you'll use these words to change our hearts, change our minds. Lord, help us to commit to following you each and every day, Father. We thank you for just being able to gather in your name, Father. Lord, give us your direction, your discernment today. Lord, help us to change our hearts and move in the direction of you, or you and your son, Jesus, today, Lord. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so by way of reminder, okay, this is Paul. He's talking to, he sent a letter ahead of him before he went to Rome, and it's to them. So verse 7 in chapter 1 says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, to all those in Reston, Sterling, Herndon, Ashburn, who are called to be saints. And I pray that's each one of you. You put your trust in him. Okay. At the first verse, I'll read it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, I'm only reading one verse because this is jam-packed with stuff that we need to know. The first point for you, therefore. Romans 12 is a transition. It's important context for us. Tim Mackey from the Bible Project describes this chapter as the beginning of Paul's practical explanation of how we as believers in Jesus Christ are supposed to live. The full description is covered in the next four chapters. And really, this is about Paul wanting to live in a right way according to what he learned by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so therefore, we're going to make a transition now from all the doctrine, justification by faith, sanctification, and we're going to move into kind of now what is practical living for Christ. Okay? The second thing I want to draw out is Paul's tone. Okay? And so we're going to look at this verse in a couple different versions. Okay? And to do this, I used blueletterbible.org. Okay? And in the top, in the ESV, it says, or in the NIV, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. The NSB 20 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God. Okay? So what's my next point? Paul's urging them. Okay, it's his tone. I'm exhorting you. Okay, the Greek word here is parakaleo. Okay, it's used to call to one side. Paul wants them to do as he's doing. Okay, it's used here to beg, to encourage, to beseech them, to strengthen them. Okay, Paul's strengthening them. Therefore, because of all that you've learned, what we already know is the doctrine about Christ and what he did for us, I urge you. It's not a question, okay? Paul's more than asking. He's urging them. There's urgency to it, a level of importance. We have to respond to that. Romans 3:23, remember I said there's a lot to memorize in this book that is good for us. For Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. Okay? We've sinned. We've broken that relationship with Christ. God has restored it. We put our faith in Christ and in Christ alone. That's what we talked about justification a few weeks ago. And then he's urging us, because of that, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Okay? And we're going to get to the rest of that. You know, when you were younger, your parents might have said, play harder, you know, work harder at school. Or when you're doing first fruits, right? Your captains might have said, hey, lock in, focus. We need to finish this job. They're not really asking a question. Paul's urging them. He's urging us, brothers and sisters in Christ, move in this direction. Okay? Let's look. You know, in Acts 27, Paul is on his way to Rome. He's on a ship, okay? And he's telling the sailors about seeing an angel that revealed he would face Caesar in Rome. And Paul knows there's a pending calamity with the ship, and it's going to bring about destruction of the ship. And Paul encourages them not to sail on. And it says in verse 21, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Paul's on the ship. He's with the sailors. Rough seas. They know they're not going to be saved. The boat's not going to be saved. And after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss." But then here it is. "Now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed." So Paul knows he's been given a vision that he's going to stand before Caesar in Rome. And so Paul is not fazed. He's not wavering. He's urging them to come alongside them. And I'm urging you to come alongside me, to put your trust in Christ and walk faithfully after him. Okay? Later in verse 34, Paul says, "Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." If you were in the earlier service, you might be going through rough times right now. Things might be hard. You're suffering. You're in pain. But the Lord is calling us to walk with him. Okay? This next part, you know, by the mercies of God, okay, as we look on this, it causes us to remember. This is in Romans 1. This might seem kind of minor, but it's not minor in any way. It's very loaded. You know, if you're a math student, you saw a variable, you would expand that. And that's what Paul's calling on here. To expand this, what is the mercies of God? It's a reference to all that Christ has done for us, all that he's described for us in chapters 1 through 11 already. If you remember last month, we talked about identifying with Christ, being buried in his likeness, and raised to walk in newness of life. Okay, this is God's grace for us. This is his love for us. This is, you know, there are many references to this for us. Okay? It's God's righteousness for us. You know, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You've put your faith in Christ and you're walking with him. Okay? The key is, you know, these mercies are from God. And because he's bestowed so much on us, he's made all of that available to us, then he's telling us kind of the next thing to do. To present, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So I'm going to dig into that here next. Okay? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So this is not just our physical bodies that Paul was referring to. It's our whole life. All that we are. All that we think about. All that we do. Okay? It's everything with our mind, our soul, our body, and our strength. Okay? Think about the word sacrifice for a moment. In the Old Testament, animals would be killed and their blood would be shed for the payment of sins. Jesus was that sacrifice for us when he died once and for all on the cross. What a price to pay, that he would die for what we are owed. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to be with him. But our sin separates us from God. We can't be in his presence with that sin. And so Jesus went to the cross to pay that price. Because God is a just God. He couldn't let that go unpunished. So God punished his son Jesus so that we, in exchange, we can have Christ's righteousness. Me and my sin, Christ and his righteousness made the great exchange that I can stand in God's presence sinless before him. He wants us to be holy and to remain righteous. Paul is urging us to be different, to walk differently. Okay? The Amplified Version says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship." If we recognize what Christ did for us on the cross, then we have no choice but to follow in his ways. To do anything else is to deny what Jesus did on the cross. It's our only response. Both broadly, in the macro sense, we have a plan for our life, what God wants us to do, where we might go to college, what our major might be, what we might study, what profession we might go into. God has a plan for all of that, but he has it in the details as well, in the individual thoughts about today, the person that you're interacting with, the person you're sitting with. It's not by chance. Okay? 1 Peter 4:11 in the NIV says, "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides them, so that all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So when you get up in the morning, and you're doing your chores, you're emptying the dishwasher, or you're sweeping the floors, to the way we reset chairs in the sanctuary after the women's Christmas brunch. It's all for the glory of God. The way we study for school, the way you respond to your mom and dad, the way that you react to your brother or your sister when they're being annoying. If we don't show them love, then we're not walking in the way of Christ. The way you treat a classmate, it says in Scripture, if I don't have love, then it's all for nothing. Every moment, every action, every word is a reflection of the one who made you, our God in heaven. May you honor and glorify him today. So take a few minutes and talk about that at your table. You have some questions. Love to know are there any areas where you're feeling the urging in your life? Who's urging you to do it? How do you respond? And then knowing that Christ died on the cross, how can we be a living sacrifice for him? I don't think in the morning. All right, we'll bring it back here, wrap up what your point. So pray as you talked about it, you had some very real ways that you can be a living sacrifice for Christ, whether it's in your family or in your classroom, you know, in your neighborhood. There's very real opportunities every day to be sacrificial, you know, to take what we hold dear and set it aside so we can serve someone else. Well, let's keep going. I'm going to read verse 1 again, just in completeness to give you context for verse 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and imperfect. And so remember, it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? We are sinners. Adam had the original sin, and that stays with us. Just, you know, as birth, as humans, that's with us. But it's interesting here. It starts in the negative. Don't be conformed to this world. And I want you to hear Paul's urging, his imploring, he's begging you, don't be conformed to this world. So what does it look like to, you know, the world? What's really talking about in this age or the world system? 1 John 2:15 and 16 says it this way. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So here we have a definition of what, you know, the world looks like. It's three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, the lust of the flesh, that's overindulgence in the pleasures of this world, physical world, food, candy, drinks, drugs, other things. Okay? That's the lust of the flesh. And there's lots of them. Lust of the eyes, materialism, clothes, cars, houses, technology, the things we see, the things that we want, the things that are ungodly. God doesn't want us to put those in our life. The pride of life, these are the non-tangible things that we hold on to that really don't matter a whole lot. God's given you all of your abilities. But if we take stock in our basketball prowess or our athleticism or how smart we are or how funny we are, yes, those are gifts from God, but we're not supposed to be prideful about them. Scripture says that the pride comes before the fall. So when we're prideful, that's not a good thing. God doesn't want that for us. He wants humility for us. He doesn't want us to get sidetracked. You know, we're called to be holy and set apart for the Lord. And so we don't want to fixate on those things. We need to keep a proper perspective that in our heart, we're made to worship. We're made to seek the Lord God Almighty and to put Him first, you know, above my marriage, above my children. Seek first His kingdom. We're called. Okay. In this, I mean, God has so much more planned for you. He has a plan that's well established if you'll just walk in it. You know, follow His ways. Okay. We can resist. And He's going to tell us how. You know, in the verse it says, but be transformed, if I go back, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that's the next part. Do you believe you can be transformed? That you can be changed? That your addiction to pornography or your lying or your stealing? Do you believe that God can change your ways? He can. But you have to be committed to renewing your mind. You know, the word transformed, it comes from the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis, to change from one form into another. And I hope this is a throwback for you because this is a very pure example of how we can be transformed. When my kids were littler, I used to read The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And some of you know this. And it starts out with a caterpillar and he's eating food. And hopefully this brings more memories to you because your mom or dad read it to you when you were a kid. It's a little hardback cardboard book. For all you young adults, you'll get there at some point. But he's eating his way through his day, his week. Ice cream, candy, snacks, junk food. And he gets, at the end of that, he's very full. He's a very full, hungry caterpillar. He makes a cocoon and he sleeps. He takes a nap for 2 weeks and he comes out differently. He's a beautiful butterfly. And last time I checked, that crawling caterpillar, not the same as a flapping butterfly. Totally transformed. Completely different shape, completely different form, different function. What it once was maybe, by some accounts, ugly, is now different. A beautiful butterfly of different colors that God, only God could make. Only God could put an example of transformation like this together. No matter how good we get at science, pretty sure we never get to this point. God wants to transform you in the same way. by renewing your mind. But you have to be committed to it. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. And, you know, I want to give you part of my testimony. This is how God worked in my life. When I was in high school, my parents got divorced. I used to go over to my dad's house with my brother and sister. And we would go there. And, you know, I had my own room in the basement. And on Friday nights, you know, my dad had cable. It's not something we had at my mom's. But he had cable, and he had a lot of stations on. And I would look at inappropriate content. It would be on late at night, and I would channel surf. And I got hooked on watching this when I was 16, 17 years old. And there was a problem when I was in college. It kind of moved off and on. But when I got married, I knew it was not something that was honorable to God. It was not something that was honorable to my wife. And I remember I would have this temptation on Friday nights, because my wife is an early riser, and she would go to sleep at 10 o'clock, always went to sleep at 10 o'clock, still does. But as a young guy, I would want to stay up and watch TV. But, you know, invariably that thoughts would move to something else. And I would be channel surfing, looking for something specific on TV, something that was not godly, something that was not holy. And I remember, you know, beginning with my wife to come to Reston Bible Church, you know, 22 years ago, and asking the Lord, Lord, this is not good for my marriage. This is not what I want. Remember, my story is about my parents being divorced. The only thing I asked God for when I was 17, 18 years old, I wanted to be married and I wanted to have kids that I could love and I could be a good dad to, because my dad wasn't around when I was a kid. And I knew that this was not going to result in that outcome. And so I remember hearing for the first time the good news, what Jesus did for me on the cross. You know, I was 6 months here at Reston Bible Church when I put my faith in Christ and in Christ alone. And, you know, I started following Paul's guidance. You know, in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me a conviction. Hey, you need to go to bed with your wife. That's honoring. There's nothing good on the TV anyway. Stop looking at that garbage. And, you know, God released me from this, you know. And I'm grateful for the marriage I have and the gift that my wife is. You know, she's my partner. She's my helper. She loves me unconditionally. When I'm having a bad day, she picks me up. And she reminds me of the truth that Christ died on the cross for us and that we shouldn't waste a single day. And so we have to constantly test our thoughts and ideas. This is the idea of be still and know that I am God. When you are still, that's when you will hear the Holy Spirit convict you of, you know, maybe the social media reels that you're watching, or the TV station you flip to, or the amount of time you spend playing video games, or the, insert, you know, blank, insert the sin that you do that you think no one knows about. Remember, God is omnipotent. He already knows all that's going on there. And he wants to release you from it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you put God's word in your heart, and you consume God's word, then all that other junk goes out the other side. Because we can only listen and we can only hold so much. So be committed to being transformed. Be committing to putting God's word in your heart. Okay. This next part I want to read to you. You know, in light of a living sacrifice, how should we live? You know, we know that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can test what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. Okay. It says in verse 3 here now, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." You've each been given spiritual gifts. You know, God has gifts planned, you know, already given to you. You may see them revealed in your life already. These are tendencies that you do that fill your cup. You know, that you get excited about when God puts them on your heart and you follow and you obey. And you can take a spiritual gifts test. You can learn more about what these are. Okay? But, you know, we're different members of the same body. That means we're all in this together and that people around you have different gifts than you. It's not to be jealous of, but to be excited for. That God would use those gifts in your life. That God would use your gifts in other people's lives. You know, to go and serve, you know, yesterday with, you know, some young men got to help reset the church after the women's brunch yesterday, and to serve alongside them was just fun. We were laughing, having a good time. You know how it is with First Fruits. You get to serve and you get to work alongside one another. Think about the joy and the smile that you're left with when that day is over. It's because you got to spend time with other brothers and sisters. You got to share in conversation. You got to feel the love that God has for you. And in that day, we are one body in Christ. And we don't all have the same function. Okay? To prove my point, I got this chart up here. Where are my soccer fans? Okay, I got a few of them. Yeah, there are different positions. You know that a striker scores goals. You know that a goalkeeper stops them. You know that, you know, the midfielder's role is to run around and chase the ball, to challenge for headers. There are different gifts and abilities on the soccer field. The same is true in baseball. Pitchers, catchers, designated hitters. You know, name your sport, and there are different. In gymnastics, we got, you know, athletes that are good on the rings or the pommel horse or the balance beam. They're all different. And yet they all work together to win team championships. You know, and you are on Team God to represent him, to pray with one another about how to reach people in your school. This is what we should be thinking about strategically. How can we reach the people in our school, the people in our neighborhood? This is what we want to focus on. So I need a female volunteer, play sports. Come on. Nope, you're not going to get any baby food. Don't do something that you wouldn't have a student do. Come on. Who's? Come on. It's fine. It's easy. Tell us your name.
Ella Henshaw.
What sport do you play? What sport do you play?
Soccer.
Soccer. You play soccer. Ella, how much soccer do you practice?
Like on a weekly basis?
Sure.
Probably like, I don't know, like 10 hours maybe.
10 hours. Okay. That's a lot. Perfect. Can you read 9 to 21 for me, please?
Oh, yeah. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another into drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head, but do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Ella. You know, this portion of Scripture is about, remember I said, Paul's speaking here to the Romans about practically living as Christ. We need to practice. This portion of text from verses 9 to 21, we want to read it. Over and over. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And it goes on. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I had the good fortune of praying with someone this morning after the first service. Someone who's weeping about the death of their mom. That we get to weep together. There's a lot here, but I wish you would just read some of this on your own. Meditate on it. Remember, at the beginning we said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. If we know Christ as our Savior, then Paul is urging us, I'm urging you, read this portion of the text because it's very practical on what we're supposed to do day in and day out. Let love be genuine. You know, at the very end it says, do not be overcome by evil. Evil was what was on my TV when I was a teenager. Some of the stuff that's on your phone is evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, which is to say, think about that which is good. Remember we said, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is good, think about these things. I want you to think about this text. You know, I mean, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own eyes. It's talking about being humble. You know, God wants those things for you. And he wants you to practice. You know, every day to practice. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we look at the text, as we read, God will change us. We will be transformed into someone who is different. I am not the man today that I was, you know, 25 years ago. Because God continues to change me as you pursue him, as you seek him, as in faith you step out and do the things that he's asking you to do. Talk to that person, befriend that person, share the love of Christ with that person. God changes us. So I'm urging you to practice the love of Christ with those around you. Give your life as a living sacrifice. Look for ways that you can serve others. And so I want to end with this final thought. And it really goes back to kind of the scene at the start of the movie, or the start of our discussion. You know, Tony Stark is a human. He's like you and me. And he's got a power source inside his chest, right? It's basically a nuclear reactor that produces infinite power. He really never gets tired. I know, very superhero-ish. But you have a power that's inside of you as well. Remember, Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That means it's for every one of us. That power source is for each one of us. And we have to choose it. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that's one I have memorized. Because when stuff gets hard, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, Iron Man has a suit. And if you read Ephesians 6, you also have a suit of armor. My encouragement is that you love God and you love your Bible more than you love Marvel, more than you love, you know, some other things. And the reason Marvel and other movies really speak to us is because they come from that inner power. They want to feed that inner craving in our hearts to worship God, you know. But it's a weak substitute for what you really have. And we fail to connect the dots on this. You know, God's kingdom and economy are very different. And the power source that Jesus Christ provides, it's not fake. It's found in the Holy Spirit. And it comes by abiding him, reading his word, and praying. And that's my encouragement, that we identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, like we talked about last month. And that, as it says in this passage, our only logical response is to follow him, to walk in the ways that he would have for us, to practice them, to pray constantly, to study his word. And so that's my encouragement for you. If you'll bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for these students. Lord, that they would be focused on knowing who you are and the plan that you have for their lives, Lord. Lord, that in their suffering, Lord, that they would turn to your word, Lord, that is true now, today, and forever. Lord, that you are good, that you love us, that you care for us. Lord, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, Lord. Lord, if we have focused on your word, Lord, that you will transform us. Lord, that you'll renew our minds, that we won't seek after our old fleshly ways, Lord, but that we'll set those aside. Lord, that we'll pursue you with righteousness and zeal, Lord, to be holy, to sacrifice ourselves for you, for the people around us, for the body of Christ, Lord, that we would show love to those around us. And I pray that each of these students has an opportunity to do that today. Lord, to love the Lord, to love someone around them, to care for them, to rejoice with them if something is going well, to weep with them if it's going poorly. Well, Lord, that we would share one another's burdens. Lord, and we can do, as it says in Philippians, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Lord God. Lord, strengthen these students today, Lord. May you continue to transform them. May they commit their lives to you and follow you all the days of their life, Lord. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.